Thank you so much. Happy Sabbath. How are you doing this Sabbath? Praise the Lord. We are here and we are grateful to be here. Just wanted to welcome you again in the house of the Lord, visitors and brothers and sisters in Christ who are from wherever we are. I am happy to see each one of you. And God has granted us 1 week, so we have a reason to be thankful for. We do know that we live in a special times. Looking at the news and everywhere around us, neighbors, friends, even in our little corner of the world, we see things happening, and we know that the time we live in borrowed time. And living in this in the shadow of Christ's return, we do face challenges. We do face challenges. Have you ever thought that you would like to be born and live in a different part, time of history? I have. I have been thinking about this, but I praise the Lord that He find the right place and the right time for me to be born, and it's just right now and right here. And I only pray that while I'm here, I can make the greatest impact for Him. Because in the end, it's not about me, but it's about God. We all know, I'm here to talk about health. And we talk on this subject for a while right now. The other day, after the last presentation, my husband was asking me, when are you going to start talking about the right things? You know, you just go and know, you say a lot of things. And he is right, you know, I was trying to set us on the right foundation, where we need to start. And the right foundation is that God is love, and He is loving us and He's caring for us. And in the end, that's what it matters. It's not about us, it's about God. On the previous occasion, we started talking about the 8 physicians God had given us. And I don't know if you remember them. They are, we try to remember them, and we decided to go by New Start, and each letter stands for one thing. N stands for nutrition, E stands for exercise, W stands for water, S from start starts from sunlight, T stands for temperance, A stands for air, R stands for rest, and T stands for trust in God. This mnemonic or acronym, it stems from a passage that it's found in Ministry of Healing, and it says, pure air, sunlight, abstentiousness, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, and trust in divine power. These are the true remedies. Every person should have a knowledge of nature's remedial agencies and how to apply them. Do you see all 8 physicians mentioned here? They're all of them. I have a disclaimer to make. When it comes to these topics, I know just as much as you do. I'm not a specialist in nutrition like Dr. Roman was and still is. And I know as much about exercise, water, sunlight, just as much as everyone else. In addition, I do struggle just as much as you do with just following these principles. What we will talk today, it's not an earth-shattering knowledge. These principles are well known to us, but for a reason or another, we are slow to understand and apply. And that's what we are talking about the Sabbath School. We do know better than we do. Today, we're gonna start with the top of the list and nutrition. Well, if it be my choice, I will not start with nutrition. Because knowing the human nature, and when it comes to food, nutrition, many people tune out this message. Nevertheless, I'm ready to take the bull by the horns and speak about it and go full speed in the message. But before we do, let's make our profession. Do you remember we have our Bibles, and I invite everybody to take their Bibles. And let's all repeat together. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are coming before your throne of grace, Lord, as weak vessels before you, and ask for the filling of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to be ready to receive the message that is from you. I know I'm not the best person to present this message, and I'm not perfect in any way, Lord, but that it does not give us an excuse not to talk about the truth and know about the truth. Help us, Lord, to have a better understanding of you, have a better understanding of how nutrition fits in our life, and what is the role, what was your intention for the food and for the diet, for nutrition to have in our lives. Help us to trust you. And Lord, when it's come to make changes in our lives, we do ask for power from your from up high to make these changes. Lord, I do ask that you're going to continue to guide my thoughts and my presentation. And Lord, help me to have an impact, not because I done it, but because you have done it through me. Lord, this is your message. We ask for power to present it in the right way, to do justice to this message. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Food. There is a long or lasting relationship between human body, humans, and food. Well, probably it's because it's an essential part of our life. God created us in this way. Through life, when it comes to food, we have formed special bonds with certain foods. We love some, we hate some, we tolerate some foods. We eat everything, or we are picky. No matter where our relationship with food, where we are in our relationship with food, nutrition, and eating, we need to realize, willing or not, that food is an important part of our lives, not only as individual, but as society and culture. This is why approaching this subject is not easy, because it has an emotional component. There is an emotional component of eating. I don't want to go on a tangent here about how food makes us feel, but I do want to make you aware that when it comes to a change in the way we eat and how we eat, facts are important, but they are not enough. We know, but we don't do it. Let's be honest here. How many here do not know what foods are good for us and what we should eat or what foods are not good for us? I'm not talking about the food we like and we eat, but about what we should and we should not. We all know better than we do. In the end, we are what we put in our bodies. This statement is true for both physical, for all physical, spiritual food. So why do we continue eating things that are not good for us? The answer is simple, because we like how they taste and we like how they look and how they make us feel. This is why knowledge is not enough. There is need for something more. For some people, it takes a scary health crisis, like open heart surgery, diabetes, stroke, to realize that they need to make a change in their lives. In my profession as a nurse, I have come across of people that even in this extreme condition, they will do whatever they want to. They will eat whatever they want to, despite of the education and despite of telling, you know, if you continue to eat this, you're going to die or you're going to be paralyzed or disabled for the rest of your life. The people are doing what they want to do. Food nutrition is so ingrained in our life, in our personality, in our character. To be able to make a change to the best requires a relationship with God. That's why I said knowledge is not enough. We do need to have a relationship with God and be in right relationship with God to make the right change. This will help us, our relationship with God will help us put the food and nutrition in the right perspective and change how we feel about this issue. An inspired message puts it this way. The world is given to indulgence. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life control the masses of people. But Christ followers have a higher calling, and that's what we were talking last time. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean. In the light of God's word, we are justified in declaring that sanctification cannot be genuine, which does not work this utter renunciation of sinful pursuits and gratification of the world. The world is given to indulgence, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. This statement is pretty powerful. Sanctification is the life we live now after we are justified by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. Sanctification is the same as Christian life. Sanctification and Christian life, it's about the same. And willing or not, when we live as Christians, we do need to eat. On other part of the scriptures, the scripture says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. What is Christian life if not bringing glory to God? Nutrition and proper diet, not food only, is the subject of this presentation. You see, nutrition goes beyond the food. I like to suggest to you that what we eat, which is food, when we eat, how we eat, and let's consider topping of why we eat are all important. I would like, the common definition for nutrition is the process of providing and obtaining food necessary for health and growth. This is why I believe that it's important to have an answer for why, what, when, and how of nutrition. And this is exactly what we are trying to do today. Why do we eat? Genesis 1, verses 26 to 31. The answer to this question, so why do we eat, can range from very simple to very complex. One simple answer is because God made us this way. Why do we eat? Because God made us this way. This is the best answer. However, after the sin entering the world, we have different answers for the purpose of eating. Many today eat not only for maintaining a health of the body, but because of sinful indulgence. Many today have made food their God. You may say that's not true. Food is not my God. Just try to make it to a test. If God is telling us we should not eat this, what we do? Do we listen what God says, or we follow our appetites and our? That's where the God, and now we put our appetite higher than what God says. It's something to think about it. God is the creator, and he is the maker, designer, master designers of our bodies. And he designed our bodies in a special way, and he put food for a certain purpose. If we are to take a look in the beginning, and let's open Genesis 1, 26 to 30. And verse 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over all every creeping things that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Verse 29, "And God said, 'See, I have given you every herb that yields seeds, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruits yield seeds. To you it shall be for food. Also for every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in that there is life, I have given every herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning of the sixth day." The passage is rich and full in signification, and we can spend many hours exploring this passage and discovering how much God loved us and how much of God's love is here. But for the purpose of this discussion, we're going to focus on nutrition. God created everything. He designed every detail of this amazing world. It just boggles our mind to think about the wonders of creation. Everything that was created had a purpose, and nothing was left to chance. Everything, and as a pinnacle of this process of creation, God created man. He created man not like any other thing on this world. He says, let's make man in our own image. Then, in verse 29, he said, "I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruits yield seeds, to you it shall be food." This single passage is telling us that even before sin entering this world, we were designed to eat. God told us what we should eat. It is as simple as this. God created us and he knew what we need. This is why he says, "I have given you." Hope we know that, you know by now that everything that God gives us is the best gift we ever receive. We will take a closer look when we are talking of the what of nutrition. But now we are still on a why of nutrition. And food and the right diet provides human body with energy, material for development and repair, and at least but not the least, provides our body with all biological material necessary for body to function properly, just as God designed it. How of nutrition? When we prepare and eat the food, we rarely see all the aspects of the food, all the particles that are in the food. Most of the times, we are just look at the taste and appearance, and less likely to think about what kind of components this food has. I don't know about you, you know, many people have different tastes. But, you know, when you're looking at these pictures, you know, there is a chocolate cake and there is watermelon. Both of them, when we're looking at them, both of them look good. They both assume they taste good. But they are both good for us. See, when we take only what we feel and what we think, we can be easily deceived. If you are to eat everyday cake, where are we going to be? If you are to eat every day watermelon, where are we going to be? But when you put these two things in a balance, which one is better for us? And we all know what is better. I don't need an answer from you. So when we judge only the testing or all the looking, it doesn't mean that we make the right choices. Our mind has a role to play in it. The issue of how of nutrition, it's about how body uses the food we eat. And it's very important to understand why we need to eat and what we need to eat. Put it in a simple way, our body does not use the food the way we eat it. This perfect, wonderful mechanism God created, that is human body, it takes the food we eat and breaks it down in little pieces, which is the nutrients our body uses. There are a number of nutritive factors or macro or micronutrients, carbohydrates, protein, fat, vitamins, and minerals. We're going to talk a little bit about each one of these factors in order for understand how this nutrition is helping our bodies. For the purpose of keeping it simple, I'd like to remind you about the simple illustration we used before in our presentation. Let's take this car. We cannot do justice to compare our human body in the way it's designed and created with the mechanism of the car, even though it's complex in itself and not many people can explain how a car works. But we cannot fully compare, you know, these two are equal. But for the purpose of the illustrations, just bear with me. And what I find very interesting is that many times we better understand and better know how a car works than our body works, which is strange for me. We have this body for a longer time than we have a car. Well, I hope it's not a surprise for anyone that it's here to looking at this beautiful Volkswagen, and I think it's a 95 Volkswagen, or a Lamborghini. Both of them are using fuel to be able to run, to be used. And I'm not a physicist, but I can tell you there is a law somewhere in the universe that says that for every mechanism, being a physical one, a spiritual one, a mechanical one, needs fuel. We need fuel in order for us to work. For our bodies, one of the food components is the main fuel. We were created this way. Every cell of the body, and especially the brain cell, need carbohydrates. We did talk about the carbohydrates. That's one of the components of foods, what we eat. And we talk about the carbohydrates when we talk about diabetes, and we see how wonderful the body uses these carbohydrates and how they use the insulin for the carbohydrates to get into this every cell. You see, the body needs a constant source of energy in order to function. And food we eat provides a lot of carbohydrates. With the exception of the pure animal products, all the foods have carbohydrates. The problem posed is that not all carbohydrates are equal. They are simple carbohydrates, they are complex carbohydrates, they are fiber. The simple carbohydrates, the example we have, it's glucose, fructose, sugar, honey. They produce a very quick burst of energy, but it's not sustained, and our body is drained after they do their job. It's like trying to fill a bottle with a narrow opening, but just throwing a bucket of water. There is some water that it's gonna go in a bottle, but it's not gonna fill the bottle. It's gonna be wasted. And our human body is created in a way that it doesn't waste anything. So when we throw a bucket of water, some of it goes in a cell where it's needed, but the rest of them, it's stored as fat. It's processed by the body and it's stored as fat. This is when we talk about the most concentrated sweets, you know, and the brown rice, they said the bad ones. White bread, fruit juices, candies, cookies, everything that has a lot of sugar. These are the ones that kind of feed us to some degree, but it does not bring the nutrition our body needs. The complex carbohydrates on the other side, it's like having a steady pour of water into the bottle. And the, you know, it may, something may spill over when the bottle is full, when the cell uses all the nutrition that it's needed. The rest of them is stored as fat, but it's just coming steady, 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 feeding ourselves. That's why the complex carbohydrates are good for us. They are very high in fiber. They make us feel fuller for a longer time. And some of them are the whole grains. And if you're looking on the bad one, it's mostly the processed food. On the other side, it's the foods that are less processed or just barely processed. The recommended amount for carbohydrates is about 45 to 60% we can take every day. And when I'm talking about the recommended, it's just not something, a number I came out, is just that it's what the World Health Organization recommends. The dietary fibers, they do not have, the fibers, they do not have, they don't bring nutrition to our bodies, but there is a reason we need them, because they are like keeping our body clean. It makes everything move faster, and it's just kind of sweeping everything that is inside it doesn't supposed to be there. The recommended amount for the fibers, it's about 30 grams a day. Then another nutritive factor that has received a lot of attention in the past years is protein. So why the body needs, our body needs protein? We talk about the carbohydrates being the fuel for the body. If I am to use the same illustration with a car, we use the protein for the spare parts of the car. It's something that it needs to repair itself. Protein has a repairs our body. Protein is the building block of the body. And we are born with the mechanism fully, we are, I think as far as I know, everybody has all their parts working when they are born. And the protein we eat, it's used to help us grow and develop and also to repair whatever it's damaged. All we need, when it comes to protein, all we need just to have enough protein to build and keep our body in working orders. Some people may rationalize and said, oh, well, if my body is made of protein, I need to eat more protein to be well, right? No. If we are to use the same illustration with a car, what is the car made of? Steel, metal, plastic, okay. You name it, I really don't know too much about a car, but let's say it's made of metal, you know? So, in order for a car to work, if it's made of metal, we should put metal to be fuel. Is that right? No. It's the same with our body. Our body, it's made of protein. Do we need to put protein to make it work? No, because God designed the carbohydrates to be the fuel. The protein has a repairing ability. Again, there are two types of protein. We do need about 10 to 30% of them to consume daily, animal protein, plant protein. And we do need to think about it, when you're looking, you know, most of the protein is found in animal products, in eggs, fish, meat, cheese, but also they are plant protein. They are, if you're looking at, let's see, a potato has as much protein as an egg. And you can find protein in the plant world. Another component of nutrition is fat. While fat can be as a source of energy, the other important role it's maintained is in using the body is to maintain lubrication, to make it everything works. And it comes, it becomes part of our cell membrane. The fat is part of our cell membrane and makes everything perfect working. It's not scratching. All the cells are have their place. Like carbohydrates, not all the fats are equal. We have saturated fat, unsaturated fat, and the unsaturated fat are monosaturated and polyunsaturated. What I need to tell you about is the saturated fat, our body can produce that. We eat the fats that they're available in our food. The body can synthesize and can choose and can make the fats we eat to be saturated. We don't need to eat saturated fat. The saturated fat are mostly in animal products, and they have a negative effect because they increase the cholesterol in the body, and probably you know what cholesterol can do to the body, and also the triglycerides. They put us at risk for a lot of disease. On the unsaturated fats, monosaturated fat, they are, the body can process, they are not essential. What is essential for our body is the polyunsaturated fat. And those fats, we find them only on the plant foods. That's where we can find the fats that are good for us. Avocado, nuts, they do have, and some of the oils from seeds and plants, they do have half and half monounsaturated and polyunsaturated, but all of them are unsaturated. You recognize the saturated fat when they are solid at the room temperature. If whatever is solid at the room temperature, it's fat, that's unsaturated. Unsaturated, they are liquid, you can pour them. So all we need, it's about 10 to 15%. The next component is vitamins. And vitamins are a very important factor in nutrition because they do have a very complex role in our human body. Even though we need only small quantities of these products, we cannot afford to miss any of them without suffering the consequences. Only in recent years, the medical science have come to have a better picture of the vitamin D. Now everybody is checking vitamin D to see, because it has a very, the deficiency of vitamin D in the body, it can cause heart problems leading to death, mental impairment, cancer, asthma, and also can affect the progression of chronic diseases. Minerals, the next part, minerals, they do have a definite role in our body. I wish I have time to speak more about them. But God created everything in our body to be in perfect balance. Some of the minerals we need more, some of the minerals we need less. But, and when we have, when they are out of balance, we do know it. Leg cramps, headache, palpitation, cravings, you name them. That's the minerals that are not all well balanced in our bodies. And one of the minerals that have the worst track record is sodium, or salt as we know it. And this is because it's widely used in a processed food. It's used to make them taste better and also to have a preservation ability. And that's why they are used in high quantities in the processed foods. We eat them and our body gets more, and that's why we have a lot of health problems. Now, we talk about why of nutrition, how of nutrition, when of nutrition. When to eat is another thing we need to consider. Along the years, we form habits, eating habits, and it's easy for us to fall in routine that is convenient and easy for us. Nevertheless, the issue is not what we like or what is convenient for us, but what is best for this magnificent work of art that is our human body. Let's go back to the car illustration. We have an empty gas tank in the morning. When is the best time to put the fuel in? After we run 3 or 4 hours on the fumes of the gas, or right before we start our trip? Well, the car is not going to go if it doesn't have any fuel, but our body does. Many times we skip breakfast and we still keep going. But God did not design us this way. That the breakfast is one of the most important meals of the day. And we should be putting the right fuel at the right time. Evening meals, the second part is we do need to talk about the evening meals. It should be light if we have it at all. It defeats the logic why we put fuel in our bodies when we are ready to slow down and park our car. It is not only a waste of nutrition, but at the same time, it taxes our body. It makes it worse work when it should rest. All that food that we put in the stomach right before we go to bed needs to be digested. And the stomach has a hard work to digest the food and store it away. Or if it cannot digest it, it stays there. And do you know what happens with the food put in a dark place in a warm environment? It spoils. The same thing it happened in our body. If the body does not, if the stomach is not able to digest that food, it's going to rot there. And I don't think anybody wants to eat rotten food, but we do so many times with the food when we put it and leave it there. Also, another important thing is just we should eat meals at the same time every day. Our body has circadian rhythm, and every time it's supposed to be at a time. That's why we sleep during the night, in the morning we rise, and everything should be kept in a perfect order. And God is a God of order, you know, and that's why He is trying to teach us that we should be a people of order too. What of nutrition? As our designer, God knows what is best for us, and He provided us with the information. Going back to Genesis 1:9, and God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seeds which is on the face of the earth, and every tree which every tree whose fruit is sealed to you shall be food." This is the initial design. It is very interesting, as we mentioned earlier, that God says, "I have given you." And then He go and mention by name what type of fuel we need to put in our body, or what type of fuel our body uses. The diet given in Eden is the gift from God. And if we look back at the book of Revelation, in Revelation 22, second, the same diet is mentioned there. After sin, human diet have changed some under God's direction, but we never see the statement again, "I have given you." This is only mentioned when it talks about the food, it's only mentioned in Genesis 1:29. God says, "I have given you." If you are to go in Genesis 3:18, it says, "You shall eat the herb of the herb of the field." In Leviticus 11, "You may eat." in Leviticus 3:17, shall not eat. Leviticus 7:23 to 27, shall not eat. We do need to make a difference here. There is a type of diet that was given, God, I have given you. And there is a type of diet that God allows. You may, you can, but it's not that what God intended. God gives us, what God gives us, it's always good. However, what he allows, it's not necessarily good. Looking at the polygamy in the Old Testament, in the beginning, God says one man and one woman. But he allowed polygamy. You know, Abraham had multiple wives, David, Solomon's, but it doesn't mean it's good. And we can see the results of these things. In the same way, you know, when God is giving something, we should follow what God is giving us. And we can follow what God allows us to do, but always listen to God. We can look at God's nutritional plan and argue, but God, where is the protein from meat? Where is the calcium from milk? Where is the sugar that pleases our taste bud? We can certainly argue with God, but the facts stand. What God intended for us, it's much better than the mess we do when we choose our own. On one side is God's word, on the other side it's man's word. What do we believe? I have said it in the past, and I will repeat it again. The science had a lot of catching to do with God and his truth. And as we see, if you're looking in a science anywhere, you can see they are catching fast. And that's not more evident in the medical field. Today, more than any other time in history, the science have confirmed that God-given diet is the best. This is why there are so many people in the world today that become so self-conscious about their health and healthy living. They may do it for a selfish reason, because they want to feel good, they want to be good. But God's people are called to do the same. They are called to follow God's plan. And we should not continue to indulge in our appetites. I cannot ask anyone present here to make a drastic change in their lifestyle, in their diet, without putting this challenge to me first. Personally, I know how hard it is to give up something I like. I also know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. At the same time, the fact that I am the unworthy vessel does not give me the right to keep silent when it comes to God's truth. God and Bible, it's clear. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have from God, and you are not your own? For you have bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. This body I have, it's God's creation. And what right I have to treat it without considering to what God intended to be treated. Moreover, the Bible says that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. How I am to treat this temple? Recently in our devotional reading, I have come across passages that make me take a deep look at this thing. I will share it with you in closing. All must act for themselves according to the dictates of their own conscience. As regards our responsibility and influence, we are amendable to God as deriving our life from him. This we do not obtain from humanity, but from God only. We are his by creation and by redemption. Our very bodies are not our own to treat as we please, to cripple by habits that lead to decay, make it impossible to render to God perfect service. Our lives, our faculties belong to him. He is caring for us every moment. He keeps the living machinery in action. If we are left to run it for one moment, we should die. We are absolutely dependent on God. So much inconvenient truth it's expressing here. Reading this passage does not make me comfortable with myself because I see how far I am from where God wants me to be. There is hope also, because while I know I cannot do it, I know God can. He is still calling. This is my hope, that as long as I hear His calling and hold on Him, as weak, as feeble as I am, He will never let me go. This is my calling for you, my dear brothers and sister. Open your ear to God's calling. Decide to make the change God wants you to make in your life, and grab hold on God's hand. He is there and willing to carry you and hold you through everything, but He cannot do it if you are not in His will. It takes absolute trust and self-abasement to put ourselves in God's will. Pray we are ready to do just this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are coming before your throne of grace, Lord, again with grateful hearts for the message you have presented to us. Lord, you are calling. You are still calling to our hearts. Make our hearts to be ready to listen to you and our ears to be open to your calling. Lord, help us to follow you and to make the decisions that is going to change our lives, and that will we decide to put our hearts and our minds, our bodies in your hand and let you lead our lives. I ask, Lord, at this moment to bless each one of us who are present here. Lord, make this message to be of effect in our lives. And Lord, I pray that make this message to not only to be here, but to apply in our lives. Give us the strength to make the changes you ask us to do in our lives, to bring you honor and glory in everything we do. And Lord, at this time I pray, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.